This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
My name is Bill Arnett, an improv shaman, hoping to up his tribal knowledge about philosophy.
This is Mark Linsenmeyer, a philosophy high priest, very institutional, nothing shamanistic about it, here to guide you through your philosophy journey. And our special guest, introduce yourself in whatever way you see fit.
I am Colleen Doyle, and I'll be a Sherpa. I'll carry whatever y'all need, and I'll do my best to forge ahead when you are feeling unsteady footing. Was that okay?
That's very nice. I like that.
I don't know about the shamans around, but high priests, we need people to carry our stuff. Not doing that myself.
No, all your medallions. Maybe I'm unclear on shaman possessions, but I'm assuming that means medallions or some kind of chunky statement jewelry.
Chunky statement jewelry, I think, is the most polite way of saying it. I like chunky statement jewelry.
And probably a staff and a spare staff.
Right.
We could be treading into some cultural insensitivities here. I definitely don't want to tread there. There are some expectations around that word shaman that is something more earthbound, something that's more buffalo head with horns, like at Jan 6.
I mean, make it worse, please.
Yes. Please. We are getting close to Jan 6 constantly.
Yes.
Everything goes circles. Time is a flat circle. And at the center is January 6th.
Are you trying to say January 6th was culturally insensitive, that perhaps the wearing of that garb was objectionable on more than one grounds?
That, and I think anyone who enjoys Carhartt should be offended by January 6th. A lot of Carhartt overalls, and I don't think that's necessarily that company's ethos, unless I'm wildly off base.
Yeah, I hope it isn't. I really hope that they're more not that.
Were there any sponsors of January 6th? Did anybody show off a product to the various cameras? I'm really enjoying Skittles as I invade the Capitol.
Well, I mean, if I could go back in time and just open like a merch booth out front, I would have made bank off those knuckleheads. You know what I'm saying?
Now, what do you think would have been a hot seller that day?
I was there. Jan 6 t-shirt.
T-shirts. Okay, t-shirts.
I was there.
Not like a hot cocoa.
You got to be careful, Bill, to use quotes, because when you say I was there, I am going to clip that out of context.
Yes, the shirts would say, quote, I was there. But if I would have been there selling shirts and cocoa in mugs. It's January 6th in D.C. It's going to be, there's going to be a chill in the air.
Quite chilly, with little marshmallows in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, in the shape of snowflakes. You guys, I'm better at this than I want to be.
Wow. Wow. We could have, that would have been awesome. Hot sellers.
You should tell us about your other podcast, or maybe there's more than one that I don't know about.
I have a podcast called Those Who Ant, and it's an improvised character-based podcast. And we just goof around and have a lot of fun. So I'm bad at promoting it. So thank you for asking. And if you like improv, you might like it and you might not. Why would I ever say that second part?
I mean, it's good to define both the options. You got to give people freedom. You can't say you will
like
it.
We're right back at January 6th. We didn't even have to go that far to circle back around. You do have to have freedom.
Mm-hmm. It's that rigorous formality that philosophy, we have to consider the other options, the contrapositive, the alternate history. What if someone doesn't like improv?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yes. Okay. So if you like improv, you may like the podcast. You may not like the podcast. If you do not like improv, you definitely won't like the podcast, but maybe you will. I mean, that's the fourth, right? That's the unicorn, somebody who hates all improv, but just really likes you. Do you have anybody in your life like that will never listen to another improv product, but will listen to your podcast?
Family?
Yeah.
every single family member? No, I think my mom likes improv, but she likes me more than improv. And I think, you know, she's seen her fair share. She'll still say, oh, that was so fun. It's gone horribly awry and everyone knows it. So yes, she is that person, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was so fun how you were making fun of your relatives indirectly, because where else are you going to get your stories?
Right. I'm so glad you very explicitly talked about sex acts on stage in front of 100 strangers. You know, I did an Armando. I think the only time I was the Armando monologist, my aunt and uncle were visiting me in town. And my aunt and uncle very generously paid for me to go to college. The question that I was asked was describe losing your virginity. So it's a long night. Not the first, not the
that
story.
Was, that was on the college admission essay? When they paid for you to...
And to clarify, you're not married.
I'm not married.
You were not at the time. Okay. Okay.
So and I wasn't at the time.
I wasn't at the time. Okay. Okay.
No, it was just embarrassing for having any family there. On top of... Then I didn't even get to improvise and try to make it up. It was just revisiting that over and over again.
That is a show format for Mark's benefit in which one of the performers is the monologist and is asked a question or is given some kind of topic to just talk. And it is their truthful stories that inspire all the improv that follows. And they don't participate in the following improv. They just tell the stories.
Okay. That doesn't seem fair. I think you should get to reclaim your story. It's your story.
Right.
Well, everybody takes a turn week to week, so eventually it's going to...
I suggest we not improvise your story right now, though. You can reclaim it in another way.
Thank you.
Now, Mark, you've had a few comments so far that I'm wondering if you're trying to get the philosophy lesson in. Because sometimes Mark will very coyly, not springly, but under the radarly, try to like ask a probing question that is perchance... alluding to the philosophy notion for this week.
See, I thought you meant coyly like a koi pond, not like a coil, like
yet
a spring.
Yet a third way of taking that.
I have been thinking around the philosophy topic that I'll just throw it out there. I'm wondering from the Ants podcast.
Yes.
There's a lot of emphasis on family. You haven't really talked about family and how it plays into ethics. That you might think if you're a member of the family that, loyalty is everything. Blood thicker than many other liquids, many other media. Mm-hmm. Or you might think that ethics leaves no room. It's merely an ethical lapse if you play favorites.
Okay.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, of course, whenever someone says family, I immediately think of the Fast and Furious franchise. And that feels like the takeaway there is you should play favorites. You should be as biased as possible. You should risk the life and limb of hundreds of innocent civilians all over the world to take care of your family. If there's a lesson to be learned, it's not like a sentence. It's just the word family.
What do you think? If you were to add up every mile driven by every car in the entire franchise, do you ever see them fill in the tank?
Oh, that's good. You don't.
That's family. That's family right there.
That is family.
That's family.
That is
you get
family.
In the car, I guess Bert borrowed the car and he filled up the tank. That's family right there.
Well, Mark, I think that's so interesting just because I think there's so much good storytelling around doing something for your family or, a movie comes to mind. I think it's In the Bedroom, but about covering up a murder or murdering on behalf of your family. That's a conundrum.
When your family members have murdered somebody.
Right.
I mean, how much of an accomplice do you want to be? How much do you want to be with them? How much do you want to be after the fact, an accessory?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, what you got?
Oh, no, I really had nothing. I was just really turning
that
over.
I'm not asking in the abstract. I'm asking right now.
I think legally, you don't have to rat out your spouse. I'm fairly certain, husbands and wives and partners, legally, if you can plead the fifth on someone else's behalf.
Yes, I believe that to be true. I am one of those folks who listens to some true crime podcasts and they'll wait. They'll wait for that relationship to finally dissolve before they're able to get the now estranged spouse to go ahead and turn. Because you don't have to, but you could. You know, you're not barred from saying, yes, the bodies were in the basement and it bothered me for a long time, you know.
I think if I had pursued a life of crime, I don't think my wife would espouse those views. I think that's where that word comes from. Probably.
Probably. Espouse.
Espouse.
My espouse.
Take it back to family, Mark. I think it's interesting. There was something on, I wish I remembered the program, what it was watching, but it was kind of the history of money. And when did we figure this money thing out? How, the idea that you can have something that stands in for something else. And it started off, well, there's bartering. It's like, you know, I've got a dead animal. I'll give you half of it if you give me some of your grain, you know, that kind of a thing. But an interesting thing that came up for me was this idea that you don't have money within a family. And it talked about that within one tribe or group of people, it would be family rules. You know, who needs what? Grandma's sick. We can't expect her to work. So she'll get food for free. And the kids, of course, you know. But then from tribe to tribe, they were like, whoa, 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 you got to pay us. We're not just going to give you stuff. So there's a different dynamic within a family, within the members, the feel for each other. And that dynamic is not the same between two families. They may have much more of a you got to pay me ideal.
So you don't know. Charge your kids, Bill, for meals? You don't?
I keep a tally in my brain, running tally.
Right.
And the day they turn 18, it's just all going to vomit out.
I mean, it's also that within a family, child labor is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's only in the wider society. You got to work for your meal, kid.
Yeah. Is that also how marriage came to be? Can anyone speak on that? I feel like I heard that in the last few months, you know, marriage was born out of who gets what and from whom and how and who owns property. And it probably was of a time when women were property. So it was, marriage was just...
It's quite natural.
Sign here, limited warranty. Yeah, right.
Too many women laying around unclaimed, unclear.
Lost, truly, you know, directionless. Mm-hmm. If I'm not owned by someone, what's there to do?
Next thing you know, you're at Ross, second rate retailer, you know. So
I'm just imagining a bunch of like scattered single women at Ross, just milling around, bumping into each other.
What are you looking for? No, I'm merchandise. I'm. I was at like a regular department. I was at Macy's. They didn't buy me, so they shipped me.
They sent me over here.
They sent me over here.
Yeah.
If I don't get
Ross
sold
Broads
here,
for less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. End up at Home Goods or something, you know, just like going down
so
the
it's
chain.
It's not the literal meat market. You wouldn't go to want to sell yourself at a butcher. I think where you choose to sell yourself, that's your choice.
Right.
I'm sure there's some sides of beef out there that are better off as hamburger than they are steaks. You know what I'm saying?
What product description you
We're
sell yourself
We're talking about
under.
Women, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yes. There's a horrible way of taking what I just said, but there's also a not so unpleasant way. I would ask you to choose the not so pleasant.
Sure. Wait a minute.
The less unpleasant path.
I will always give you the benefit of the doubt, of course.
Just like every podcast listener.
Right. Please.
Yes. What do the ancients say? I always ask, Colleen. What did the ancients say about family?
Mm. Some of the ancients thought it was the fundamental political unit.
Okay.
So that it's not a great contrast between what goes on in the family and the wider thing, or at least, you know, to start with, right? That they saw kingdoms as like a big family. We're all in it together. Ideally, maybe we should, in fact, lie to everybody, says Plato. And say, you know, the earth is your mom. Everybody in your peer group is your brothers and sisters. Don't have sex with them. We'll have a lottery and you have to go out of your age group. That was part of the mechanics of this.
There was a lottery? Oh, I got to read more.
It was proposed in Plato's Republic. Yes, you would think it's a lottery, but it's actually all engineered on a high. But people would be told that it was entirely chance. But we're really making the matches that we think will give the best offspring as the leaders.
So basically arranged marriages, but with the, talk about philosophical conceit, but with the, everyone thinks that they're getting, that that's an even playing field. And
deep state. It's a deep state. Chance 6.
Chance 6. The illusion of choice. The illusion of choice, right? Maybe it's not a choice, but it's a lottery and it's fair when in reality there are people pulling the strings.
Is the idea that people shouldn't be trusted with whom they love, or that procreation is just too, we can screw it up? Or is it that whole like, no, we need to make sure that geneticists of the thing where you try to make like, we're going to make super smart people.
Oh, eugenics, yeah.
Eugenics, was it a eugenics thing?
I mean, insofar as, yeah, I think that was the idea.
Sure, okay.
I hear eugenics, but, and I just say yeah. Yep.
That's what they should put on the t-shirts at the Gen 6.
Eugenics, question mark? Yeah. Yeah. Smart. Yeah.
Eugenics, megenics. Let's do it.
Just not they, Gen X, right? That's a Jan 6 slogan.
Mm. His or her Gen X.
Right. It's eugenics and our Gen X, not their Gen X. Now, this is getting to be a lengthy t-shirt, but we get it.
And on the back, we'll have a disclaimer that I simply mean the personal pronoun, not the collective pronoun, which they and their can stay as a collective pronoun.
Right.
Groups, yeah.
and part of that Platonic utopia there involved actually pretty radical equality between men and women, even though he thought women were probably going to be more sentimental or whatever. But given the same talents, you definitely should have whoever can do the job of soldiering is what he was most concerned with in terms of this breeding this super class.
Super soldiers.
They would exercise in ancient Greece naked. So it's fine for men and women to exercise naked together, just like in today's aerobics studios. I mean, the ones that I've founded.
Oh, well, this whole thing is just the gift that keeps on giving, Mark. You're just...
So, Mark, can I ask real quickly, like, the way we use platonic relationship now feels like we use it more as we're just friends. But it sounds like the platonic relationship, you know, its genesis was probably an idealized relationship, an equal relationship, or I am wrong.
I mean, that's from a different book by Plato.
Fair enough.
But if we're talking about the family as sort of the thing that you would build out from to make a civilization, then, well, what are the forces there? You got Eros holding people together. You got that kind of love. And the Platonic, as we know it, was Plato saying, let's channel that kind of love. It might start all sexual, but let's channel it into, I appreciate your beauty and your virtue, and we can rise together and be all spiritual.
Okay. That's exactly how me and my Platonic friends operate.
Yeah. I mean, you start wanting to fuck them, and then you're like, you know, let's read a book together.
Yeah. Together. Right.
We'll alternate words.
Yeah. Sounds very familiar. Good to know. That Plato sounds like an interesting fella. I got to revisit. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got nothing under that toga, huh? Haven't been in underpants yet, right?
All right. Well, I'm glad you all could be here at the Egalitarian Reading Group. And we do have a story that we're going to read one word at a time.
And pause, Mark, before we launch into the scene.
Is this not
which feels like a scene. Mark,
it feels like a really stupid activity, but okay.
I like it. Colleen and I are discussing, mostly Colleen's idea, and it's real good. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. It formalizes some stuff we have talked about in a general sense.
Well, I love formalizations.
I heard.
So I'm going to go through, I printed out the thing, and I'm going to go through it real fast and answer those questions for myself. Okay? So Mark, go ahead and say what you're going to say, and I'll go through this list and answer those questions.
Thank you for coming to the Egalitarian Reading Group. We have a book here. Can everybody see over my shoulder? This is the book today. There are only a few words per page because we want to be able to get through it. We had tried this with one of those longer books, a Russian novel before, and people got a little tired of it. I figure a really short thing. So Colleen, if you want to read the first word. And then Bill, read the second word.
Yeah,
and then I'll read the third word. And then we're going to repeat that cycle until we finish the story.
Great idea. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think this is really going to bring us together a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because I know that you pretty much came here to fuck, but we're not going to do that. We're going to read the book together.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That's maybe where
we'll
things
see.
Started.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I mean, if I may, because I have first word, I believe.
Yes.
And I just want to say, yes, we did come here to fuck. And this was advertised as a fuck club initially. It might be we're just a little bit lonely. And I just want to say we're also very malleable because we're all going to agree to do this instead. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that just makes me feel really seen and heard and safe in this space right now with the two of you. So.
Wow. Get me a little hot.
I know. I was, as I was talking, I thought, I gotta stop because there's an undertone of erotic. Does that anyone else?
No. I think that we've channeled the mm-hmm. Eros into this new endeavor. that's going to bring us together. And I just want to get some knowledge from this book.
Oh, okay. So
okay.
you,
okay.
All right. Okay. That's fine. That's great.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to try to do
get
that
some
too.
Knowledge. Get some yeah. knowledge.
Right. Because, you know, yeah. what can keep you warm at night sometimes is knowledge.
I mean, if it's knowledge how to build a fire. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And the title of the book?
Colleen, we'll get there, Colleen. We'll get
okay.
there.
Okay. All right.
To build a fire.
Oh, right. Okay. All right.
Okay. But it's not that one. It's not the one that you read in grade school. This is a different one by
an adult to build a fire.
Ooh. Ooh, adult. I love that word.
Who's the author there, Bill? Do you want to read the author's name?
The author's name is Ima.
Ima, okay.
We're just doing one word at a time, right?
Oh. Colleen, what's the author's last name?
Wet Spot? Am I saying that right? Wet Spot?
I think it's What Spot.
Oh.
What Spot.
Okay.
It's yeah. Czechoslovakian, I believe.
Okay.
I've heard it's really good, but I haven't even read. I didn't want to spoil it, so I didn't even like even open it before today. I was keeping things really locked down before to have you guys come and have it fresh.
Yeah. Yeah. You practice some denial. Let's get going.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to hold the book, Colleen, so you can see the first word more clearly?
Oh, it's so soft. I will hold the book.
Okay.
I'm holding in the book. Whew.
You're caressing the book. Okay. Yep.
Just reminds me of a real quick detour. This summer I turned 17. I was a lifeguard and just the absolute sun-kissed skin of a boy named Devin that I worked with. That's what the feel of the book reminds me of. I just felt like I had to say that out loud. Just feels healthy to say out loud those things. So I don't hang on to them and ruin the reading.
Yeah, you don't want to get distracted.
Thank you for sharing.
You don't want to see a word and then have it actually connote a different word and then you say the different word. I've noticed sometimes I do that.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
So often. And then I have to go home and sit quietly in a dark room.
Like if you're reading somebody's won an award.
Uh-huh.
And you might go read the name and then like that reminds you of a different he was in a thing with Kevin Bacon, who was in a thing with Marky Post. And then so you say Marky Post was best actress. And Marky Post wasn't in fact not best actress. I mean, she is in my heart.
Yeah. I'm gonna put this pillow in my lap. Is that okay, everybody?
I also brought a pillow. I'm just gonna shift that to my lap as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's okay. So I have the first started. Word.
Yep.
I guess perfect. We should start reading.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's why we're
if
here.
If we didn't start reading,
we would just
sit here.
We're here for a study group, aren't we? I need help with our homework. Right. I guess we should do that.
Yeah.
getting information in a cooperative way. Yes, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just one more thing. Afterwards, I would love to just host and maybe have you over for both of you over for dinner.
Sure. A dinner or dinner?
Dinner.
I mean, let's see how the book goes. I don't know what kind of book this is. We might be hungry after it. We might not be hungry. We might not be hungry.
Hmm. Okay.
After this book. Yeah. This is to build a fire, and it's not that one.
It's not that one.
This is by What Spot, the famed
Czechoslovakian author.
Yeah.
Author / dictator? I didn't read the wiki. I didn't want to spoil it. But okay. I know the name. You know the name, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Spot? Yes. I mean, it just, what does that connote to you?
Post activity residue.
Right. Just a funky smell, musk.
Yeah. What Spot? It's like a tornado. It's like somebody that has a real iron will. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of stuff. Yeah, I agree with you. That's
after
what
the tornado, the path that has been plowed by the gully that has been engorged.
Oh,
regorged by the.
I'm gonna pass someone else the book. I can't.
Oh, okay.
Go last?
Sure. Bill, do you want to go first?
I can go first. Your story about lifeguarding reminded me when I was 17.
Yes.
30 years ago, how I had a summer job at summer camp, and what was so crazy is that all of the counselors. You know, all the kids thought they were so cool and so fun and whatnot, you know, but it created this weird tension where all the counselors would in secret talk about like, oh, you know, I'm not, it's so inappropriate because I'm not there. I'm not, you know, the same age as them. But then I'm like, I am the same age. Why aren't we figuring right. things, you know?
Right, right.
But it, I think they, and it just the kids have just taken all of their energy, had taken all their chi, their attention that they just, it was actually quite, even on like counselor fun night where, you know, we got the night off between sessions, it was just pretty tame. It was very tame.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's good. Because if counselors misbehave, I've seen the movies.
Oh.
Some kind of serial killer is going to show up. You know, counselors got to stay on the straight and narrow.
Serial killers do not like unmarried people having sex.
That's a strange law for
it's
them.
It's a fact.
Oh, well, maybe at dinner we can all talk about summer camp. Just
Yeah. I'll even bring my old counselor t-shirt. My short and my counselor t-shirt. You know, maybe I'll bring my whistle. Yeah. That'd be fun.
I mean, I do have a bunch of crop tops that I have from that time period. I'll bring my crop top.
Oh, that's fun. We can really get into it.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Mark? Huh?
I mean, so but first you have to start the book. We're gonna.
So we're gonna do that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
I'm excited. Camp Colleen's house. I'm excited about.
Right.
We'll see what happens.
Right. So Okay. So we're still gonna do the book. Great. So I'm just checking in. We're gonna do the book thing right now, and then we're gonna do the camp thing and costumes later.
I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. I will start chapter one. But.
Okay. Time out. I said I might need a timeout. Should we leave it there?
It is to tease. It really is.
No.
We can stop there.
Yay.
We wouldn't want to reveal what the book has to say.
I could have done more of that, but the clock was ticking and I wanted to make sure we can have a talk back.
Oh, sure.
Bill, you definitely don't know Colleen, but I started my fifth podcast, which this is the fourth one, called Close Reads, where we read a book aloud and trade off paragraphs and talk about it. And a lot of times after an hour, we've gotten through like three pages. It hasn't been quite as short, as drawn out as what we just witnessed there of like not getting around. Oh, we got one word. All right, come back for part two. You can go behind the paywall to get the second word.
That's right. That's a good tactic, Mark. Oh, my.
That was a fun one, Mark. And I just want you to know, something hilarious happened. Now, Colleen, I don't know if you want to let the cat, how far we want to let the cat out of the bag.
I can do it anyway. Cat fully out? Yeah.
I think we should let the cat all the way out of the bag. I'm not going to say expose anymore. That's for the scene. But because I think we should get Mark to do it. I think we want Mark to do the trick.
Mm. Oh yeah, that'd be great.
So get all pervy. That was the lesson. Only non-pervy character in that.
So Mark, we have talked about, and Colleen, jump in. This is your thing. But Colleen's gone over a list of three little questions that I asked myself right as this scene started. And Colleen, how about this? You go through the questions, and I will say what my answer is. And this is based, Mark, entirely on your first 10 to 15 words.
Mm.
And I answered these questions with pen, and I wrote down the answers so you can verify. All right, question number one.
Mm.
Colleen.
Question number one is, who is this person?
I think you were just supposed to read the first word, and then Bill was going to read.
Well, no, go ahead. And why is that question, why would you say that's a good, why is that question pertinent? My answer was wise. This person to me is wisdom. They are wise. Okay. And why is that, what's the utility of that question?
I think these questions are useful to make decisions. And whether that's, I love, Bill, that you determined your choice was this person is wise. And sometimes when I do this with students or actors who I am coaching, we will make a specific choice as to like a name or a relationship between the two people. But I love, Bill, this person to me is a wise person. Great. I love that. Wonderful.
Great. Question number two. Did you want to?
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. Excruciatingly polite, Mark, and everyone knows it about me. The second question is, what is this person really saying?
My answer was, quote, I think you're great.
Oh,
that like boy. Everything you say, Mark, is like you're talking straight to me and you think I'm awesome.
Yeah. Boy, that's a good one. So, Bill, I love that. And I love that it's positive.
Okay.
And I love that it's relational, right? Because sometimes the offer, right, is I made an egg salad sandwich. And so the reason for these questions is how do we, yes, and agree and add meaning and value and importance and enthusiasm, because Bill did that so effortlessly, to that line of dialogue, which at the beginning of the scene was great. It was, we know where we are. We're at this egalitarian book club, but adding then, what is this person really saying? We're just adding to that line of dialogue. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, all that subtext and kind of stuff. It's all in movies. It's all in books and TV shows. And we even do it in our own lives. Mm-hmm. You're not going to believe who came up to me at lunch to ask me if they could, you know, have a bite of my cookie. I know what they really wanted. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like, yeah. We're always doing that anyway. Mm-hmm. We should be doing it in our improv.
Right.
Now, you're going to love the answer to question number three, Colleen, because you actually said this within your first 10 lines of dialogue. You actually said this exact word.
Well, I cheated because I knew the questions. But the third question.
Well, you didn't know my answer. You didn't know my answer.
I didn't.
Yeah, yeah. My answer, okay. You said within your first 10 lines.
Oh, really? Yes. Okay. So the third question, Mark, is how does this make me feel? So we know who this person is to us. We know what they're really trying to tell us. And how does that make us feel?
And I said, seen. It makes me feel seen.
Ah.
And I did say it.
You did?
I sure did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in my brain, when you started talking, Mark, I just immediately pictured this like, isn't Mark great? I come to all of his workshops. He's so smart. Just like that person. And you may have had that. Mark's been in academia for a while. You may have had some super fans. You know what I'm saying? And God bless them. But they're a thing, you know? And that was kind of like where I was going.
I mean, usually with the tutoring sessions, let's just see how it goes before we plan any sort of dinner. Afterward, it was very, you know, slice of life, slice okay. of life.
That gross, scene. Gross, gross. I'm not going into the scene with you right now.
luckily, they're all over the internet, so they can't actually go anywhere.
Oh, fair. That's how the internet is.
So when we're ready to do another scene, Mark, you can go through those three questions yourself and take a moment to like answer those questions for yourself and see if that helps provide you with making some good, clear decisions.
And by the way, I took this from a dear departed improviser named Jason Chin. And I find that having people answer those three questions at the top just makes life a little bit easier as improvisers. So, Mark, if you want to know what they are, it's who is this person to me? What are they really saying? And how does that make me feel? And sometimes when you answer those questions, it can feel a bit verbose. But I find it's a good verbose.
And it becomes second nature.
Yes.
Who is this person really? What do they really mean? And how does that make me feel?
Exactly.
Nailed it.
I took the time to write down my answers. So you couldn't accuse me of cheating. And again, the exercise of doing that, I think, is good. But I was saying how a strong choice is a clear choice, and it doesn't matter what it is or what's going on, as long as it's clear, and that if you've ever met any really good actors, even just having a beer with them at the bar, it's so intense. They have an intensity because they're just so clear how they feel and what's going on. And Colleen was about to comment on that.
I just think it's a lot of what we're trying to do is either be confident or feign confidence. I've made a decision and I'm going confidently in this direction, right? And I find that that's really useful for folks when we start out, and there's that tentative way that we can oftentimes start. Giving yourself permission and the space to answer these questions for yourself possibly leads us in the direction of playing from a more confident place throughout the whole scene. Because as soon as you make decisions, maybe your scene partner feels empowered to also make confident decisions with a period on the end of the sentence. So I found these have never steered me wrong, but who knows? Maybe today's the day.
I can manage to be steered wrong in very creative ways.
Great. Perfect.
We should just do the next scene.
That's fine.
And I will try to
still wanted to discuss
bury
more
the
about
philosophy very heavy-handedly into the scene, as well as do your three things while juggling.
I can start this thing. And if you want to answer those three questions, Mark, you want to get a pen and pencil. You got a pencil ready? Awesome.
Oh, good.
Classic Dixon Ticonderoga yellow wood case pencil. Awesome. And if you need to pause for a moment, Colleen and I will allow you to pause.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Okay, Thompson family, I just wanted to say I was a little disappointed when we were getting the garden cleaned up yesterday, and it just took all day to just do some pretty basic yard work. The homeowners association, the HOA, wants to fine us, and I don't want that to happen. We got to buckle down here. We got to get some yard work done around here.
Yes, sir. Will do, sir.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. That's what I needed to hear. I wish we could get this. Could have gotten this yesterday.
Yeah, hon. I'll do my best. Thank you for calling the meeting.
Yeah. You seem reluctant.
Well, working from home, I was in a different meeting for work when you called me into this meeting to recap.
Family meetings always take priority over work meetings.
Now, do you see what you've done to our son? Do you see what you've done to Chad? I would just say that conducting family meetings like this, and I'm glad you've become so communicative, right? And good. very clear with what your expectations are.
Mm-hmm. The counselor said that's what I should do.
Right.
And I do want to say that I would like to leave new business for the end of the meeting. For now, if you want to get some new business out, we can do that.
Okay. I don't even know if I would call it new business. I don't want to act as though you're not here, Chad. Chad has just taken to responding from a very militaristic pattern, and it's a little unnerving. I think that might be in response to how we've, you know, I like the counselor, don't get me wrong, but this is a very specific way to run a household.
A household is not, it's not the platoon that I ran in Afghanistan. And that's a lesson that's been told to me many, many times. And, but our boys, I mean, you have connections with your feelings, right?
I can only aspire to be as worthy as the people in your platoon in Afghanistan were. I know that I will never reach that standard, but I can try.
There we go, hon. There we go.
Now, when you say there we go, I don't know what that means anymore. Because, Chad, hon, if you're feeling a certain way, you can feel free to say, like your dad said, this is time for new business. So please feel free to say out loud if there's something that you're feeling about the way that your dad's kind of engaging with us.
I understand that I was a disappointment. I made prank phone calls. I drank. I would steal money from your wallets. And I understand after spending some time at that place that to come home, there had to be a different behavior pattern. And so I am living in the new way. I'm a new person now.
Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that what we always wanted from our son? Really? I mean, isn't that?
I mean, I guess.
Well, here, I understand you think, again, it's something we have talked about with our counselor about being more open with feelings. So let's do this. Son, how you feeling? How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling I'm being the person that I'm supposed to be, and therefore I am happy with the person that I am now becoming.
Okay. Happy is a feeling.
I guess, yeah. The way you said it, didn't sound happy. But I don't know what else. If that's how you feel, then my business in this meeting is I suppose done. Well,
here, let's we can keep this going. Look, everybody, look up into the clouds and maybe say what you see in the clouds. This is something that your mother and I talked about with our counselor to just kind of get the ball rolling in.
Mommy's going to make me look at the clouds again. Don't let him make me look at the clouds again. Last time we looked at the clouds, I didn't like what I saw. Can you just talk to him and maybe do a different exercise?
Yeah, it was scary, huh? Clouds? Yeah.
I thought they're clouds. They're just, is that, okay,
New business, may I? Just one more new business?
Sure, yes.
We have two counselors. We have a counselor for your dad and I, and we have a family counselor. The family counselor is one way of thinking, and, you know, mom and dad's counselor is a different way of thinking. And I'm worried that maybe we're confusing you, because I know when I said to, you know, we said to look up at the clouds before, and that made you feel uncertain as to, you kept mentioning if you look up, you know, you can't cover your six if you're looking up.
Boom.
And
great advice.
Yeah. So I can see, Chad, this might be a little confusing. And I was thinking maybe we just need a third counselor.
I'll see if the health insurance will cover a third counselor. Would this just be for Jeff? Is that?
I think so. Yeah, I think a third one, we have two competing ones right now. A third, maybe we could pit them against each other and see who comes out on top.
So if I'm sorry, if I had a third counselor, would I have a third name then? because I've got the Jeff counselor, I've got the Chad counselor. Would there? Mm-hmm. I have to pick another.
You would have to pick another name. One more name.
And try, maybe try to pick one this time that does they don't sound so similar.
Right.
Chef.
It was difficult for us.
Mm-hmm. Chef. How about? I think Chef.
How do you feel about all this, Chef? How does Chef feel about our family dynamic here, huh?
I've been trying to adapt and go along with the new program, but I think I might not really understand why we're doing it quite this way. And I feel like that there was nothing wrong with the tap dancing. I know I was doing a lot of tap dancing. And that led to the drinking and that led to the stealing. But I think maybe the tap dancing could be separated out and I could have a sort of tap dancing based identity that maybe is not following your orders every second, but it's being the true me, the true chef.
I'm just not sure if tap dancing is a noble profession for Bill Gates doesn't tap. Oprah doesn't tap dance. I'm just a lot of, I'm not sure how much money
Gene
is in
Kelly
tap dancing.
And $5 million, and that was way back then. Tap dancing is going to come back. It's going to be bigger than ever, and I think I can be okay on it. I mean, maybe not be a full-time tap dancer, but like, do parties. There's lots of employment opportunities with the tap dancing.
As long as you don't tap your way back into petty crime. Because it's a straight line for you somehow, from tap to crime.
And when you're in a 7-Eleven swiping magazines and candy bars wearing your tap mm-hmm. shoes,
yeah,
it really attracted attention to yourself.
I mean, that was...
When you're shuffling off the Buffalo out the door, it was pretty obvious what was going on. Draw every eyeball in the store.
I mean, I was trying out a supervillain thing, tap dancing, like the Joker. I'm not doing that anymore, though. That's not on the table. Mm-hmm. I understand that was wrong. That you gotta get to use my tap dancing skills for good. That if you have great tap dancing skills, then you gotta use those to accomplish all the things that tap dancing can accomplish and think how much that could be.
I have not discussed this with your mother yet, but let's say this, if we can get the yard work done today, in a timely fashion, you can have your top hat and cane back.
Yes. Yes, I co-signed that. And I wanted to hear out loud was using your tap for good.
Okay, I'm going to put on the shoes and I'm going to get to the yard work right now.
There we go.
And that's the end of that one.
Yeah, we'll stop there.
Classic. Classic.
All right, Mark, what were your three answers?
Who is this? It's Dad. What is he trying to say to me? I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, okay.
And I wrote, how do I feel about this? I feel rebellious. But then I immediately did the opposite of that. But this became a mission statement that I had to get it around to rebellious eventually. Mm.
Well, I think that's the kind of, even if you're feeling rebellious, if you're being called down, you know what I'm saying? Standing tall before the man. You may not be able to act rebellious, even though you're feeling rebellious. And that's that kind of multi-layered, interesting, dramatic work that we're all striving for.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it feels good to know that stuff. And I do feel like Bill said earlier, it's just something you start to, all the stuff that you learn over the course of when you're first, 5 or 10 years of doing improv. So it sounds so depressing for someone who's like 22, but I think it just becomes kind of second nature that they feel like things are either unspoken or, not articulated and we don't know them, or we just don't feel strongly about it. And I think with when I work with folks now, a lot of the stuff can be boiled down to, we didn't know, or we didn't care that much. Sometimes this is just, it's just useful for that in that way.
Now, I will say, Colleen, you did a very cool move very early on, Mark. And it's something we've kind of alluded to a little bit over the course of our things, where Colleen made a pivot. Should I just say it? Are we at the end of the program? Should I just say it?
Sure. Go ahead.
Pivot from what is going on to who is going on. And the what was actually kind of somewhat forgotten about, some yard work and homeowners association and all these things, to who is going on, and it's this dysfunctional family, and that is going to be far more interesting than can we or can't we get around the HOA's weird landscaping rules.
May I say, just having been around the block, that thank you, Bill, for saying that that's better and more. And not, you think you said it's maybe more, it might be more interesting. It could be more interesting. I try to be really cognizant of working with different folks who come from different maybe avenues of thinking that say, I'm so excited about my HOA scene. So I don't want to ever take that away from people who are like, oh, my thing. I think, right, like Bill and I, you and I coming from that kind of IO background, real Chicago-y, that's in my bones a little bit now. Like I'm kind of steering a bit towards why do these people matter to each other and how do they bounce off of each other? So,
yeah.
Well, if I had not been assigned to ask these questions, I might have paid more attention to the HOA matters and gotten into the, it's probably very interesting.
The minutia exactly how. Of the handbook, HOA guidelines and bylaws. Yeah.
I mean, the neighborhood associations, they require just crazy things now. You can't even, you can't sprinkle your lawn on the same day that you park your car on the lawn. You can't leave a car on the lawn for more than 6 months. You can't let it rust.
Is that how
it sounds? It sounds like it might go deep with you, Mark. It might run deep.
Is that how families operate, really? Is that how families?
Yeah. I mean, we got to clean the yard because, I mean, that car has been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much just parts scattered.
I will say, I'm not sure if this was in our scene a ton. Maybe, maybe not. But the whole idea of like, we can not only can we use family ties and whatnot, that this whole idea that they're somehow more important, we can also use them to leverage things out of our family members unfairly. And like, you know, the whole thin blue line and blue, you know, and all that stuff. It's just kind of like, don't rat on me because we're family.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the other side of it is that we maybe we're looking out for our families, some nepotism here or there, but then we also, more unscrupulous family members can use it as a you know, leverage to get away with something. Mm. Is there a name for that? Do the ancients have a name for that?
I mean, there are definitely, I don't know, if you say that the family is the first step of the state, and then you say the state is a big family, that is an excuse to be totalitarian to say.
Yeah.
Big Daddy is watching over you and for sure loves you.
Boy, that's creepy, Mark. The family is the first step of the state. That makes me feel very unwell.
Jan 6.
It takes me right back to Jan 6.
We don't need money because everything belongs to Daddy.
I just
want you kids to share. Thus ends my presidential fireside chat. This is drunk President Trump. Did you know after his stroke he would sound so different?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This timeline is wild.
I wish I could cite things better, but something else was about, and again, ancient tribal peoples. I may have been in the same special. Now I got to find this damn thing.
Yeah.
That when a tribe grew larger, you know, larger than 60 or there's some number, 60, 120, whatnot, it would splinter into two groups. And it's like that number was the number of people that you could remember and have a relationship with. And if there's any more people than that, you just can't reasonably, it's like, you know your immediate family, you know your aunts and uncles, you know your cousins, you know your grandparents, and you know, but after a while, it's like, that's just too far away for me to even comprehend, and I don't know who to rat them out to if they screw up, and I don't, you know, they're just so, I don't even care about them. They're someone else's problem. I don't even care about these things. Mm-hmm. But like when a family or a group of humans gets to be beyond that tipping point of like, yeah, I don't even think of everybody as family anymore, well, then it's time for that little group to split. And become too famous, you know.
I just think of all of you as family, and that's why I give you all the same names, so I don't have to learn all the names, and then I will make up nicknames to pick you out in individual circumstances.
Thank you, George.
Well, that's interesting. And how do we make all this stuff work when we don't, right? When we live in a country of 300 million people and I don't know nearly all of them. And how do we make, you know, I'm a big voting nerd, Mark. And how do we make people care about someone who's not in my 60 people that I know? But that's a different podcast. That's the next podcast I'm starting, Mark. So the race is on. You've got five Maybe I'll have two by the time this podcast is over.
I made it very simple. My name is the only one on the ballot. You just have to just vote, and you can vote as many times as you like. Okay, I'm never Papa. Leaving this character. This okay, character Papa. Is here to stay. I'm a very devoted Papa, and I would never abandon you to go back to a regular voice.
This is back to the sex scene, right? This is
yeah.
Oh, yes. Callback.
After we finish the book.
Yeah, this is at the
I'd
party.
Like you all to gather in a heap before my throne. And,
in a heap? Yeah, and Mark that's is
the,
erotic.
Yeah. He's the camp owner. He owns the summer camp that we work at.
Right.
And he's coming out there with his two tight shorts and his tucked in polo shirt.
As oh, long no. as you do it right, then the serial killer will not target you. He only targets young, unmarried people who are having bad sex. If they were having good, wholesome sex in front of Papa, then you're all okay.
Scene. Mercy. Mercy. Uncle.
All right. We can be done with that.
Oh, Lord.
So we ask which lesson won at the end. And I think it's pretty obvious that I didn't really try very hard with the philosophy thing. Even trying to get it into the scenes, you guys were making a better attempt toward the end to draw it back. So that's my vote. But Colleen, Bill, do you have a vote before?
Well, no, I think it is a cool topic, Mark. And it is yeah. one. I am actually curious, like what the more heavy intent. I think some of the topics I'm a little bit like, yeah, okay, whatever, moving on. But other ones are like, ooh, I actually wonder what the prevailing wisdom is around nepotism and all that. And I imagine there was a time in human existence where it was like, well, how else would we be? Of course I'm going to put my uncle in charge of the State mm-hmm. Department. Wouldn't right. you? You know, it's like, because it does feel natural in a way, but then we also recognize logically that like, yeah, my uncle's an idiot. He's a drunk and yeah, I'm not going to put him in charge of you.
And it's interesting to get to a place where we see it as such a, in the concept, in the, you know, as we have elected officials, how we just see it as almost no matter what across the board, no matter how perhaps experienced and appropriate they would be, that it's still wrong, that we just don't think, we think of it as wrong, or many people
yeah.
think of it as wrong. When I think that, Bill, you're so right. I'm sure at some point it was like, well, yes, these are my sons and they run the rest of everything. And I would never ask someone that isn't my son
yeah.
to do that thing. So
Jan 6.
Jan 6. So I got to go also Jan 6. That's what I'm putting
for. All right. So I think maybe I was saying clearly improv won. Bill was saying, not so fast.
No, no, no. Improv won, but
all right.
The philosophy lesson.
Well,
participation.
But Colleen has veto power. If she thinks that philosophy in fact won, then we can turn it around.
I'm going to have to go with the group and say, I think improv won.
Okay.
And it doesn't get the W very often, Mark, so sometimes I have to give it to it.
Well, improv's been on a hot streak lately. I'm
on this
like,
show, oh, okay, it okay. actually does pretty well, but in life.
Well, right. part of that, Mark, is that these, I think we've had some good scenes lately. And that's in no small part to your participation.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel, wait a second, let me write down. Bill is making me feel good. And how do I feel about that? I'm suspicious.
Oh, I love it. These are all good. Human emotions. Front load your scene with human emotions. I love it.
Okay. All right. If you say that, that was all right. Fine. Oh. Let's say goodbye to the people. Let's let them go. Jesus.
See you, people.
Bye, people.
Bye, people.
If you enjoyed this, get more at philosophyimprov.com. If you're hearing this on the Partially Examined Life feed, please go subscribe directly to the Philosophy versus Improv podcast so you won't miss any episodes. And you'll see our whole back catalog of episodes in that feed. While you're on the Apple Podcasts site subscribing, please leave a nice rating and review of this podcast. Better yet, avoid all the ads. Hear our post-game discussions for nearly every episode and experience the video for this and most other recent episodes at patreon.com/philosophyimprov. Thanks so much for listening. I should sell my soul. I wrote. Bankrupt!